Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Zach at IHCA.
Morning, Zach.
What's up, Dave? How are you, man?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. How's the morning Arizona sun out there?
Oh, it's fantastic. Balmy 78 degrees right now, so blue sky. Not too shabby.
Yeah. Morning, guys.
Good, good. Morning. Hey, Pete.
Morning.
So we've got this call. Everything's being recorded. There's no, you know, it's just an open line. So if you don't want something recorded, don't say it.
Famous last words.
We shouldn't be discussing price fixing.
You need to read the antitrust conflict of interest.
Probably should.
I'm just going to hang up then. What the heck?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. It's 11. Hey, Josh Mitchell, are you on the line? I think that is a no. Okay. Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Zach again. We've had some more people call in. The line is being recorded, and we'll provide a link to our colleagues that weren't able to join this morning. I'm waiting for our developer to call in. Josh, are you on? Make sure he gets on here. Well, we'll just get going here. Look, Josh is calling in. I'm not going to do any kind of roll call. Hey, Josh, how are you? Good. Good morning.
Good.
We'll kind of launch right into it. I'll say that pretty much, you know, a lot of the list that I sent out yesterday are able to attend, you know, either the state exec directly or someone on staff. I know that Doug and Keith have their state meetings this week, and we'll catch up with the recorded call. And I don't think that we'll take the whole hour here. So we'll dive right into it. I sent you all the license agreement yesterday afternoon, and sorry for the delay. I meant to do that yesterday morning, but was out of the office doing facility visits. You know, this is relatively plain Jane. I think that it gets the main concepts that we talked about on the webinar a few weeks ago and things that we had been thinking about for a while. You can see that this is a relatively simple license agreement, and really in the grant section, middle of the first page, these are the things that we talked about, where you would get access to your own subdomain. You can reproduce and display the content as it exists. You can also remove that content and replace it with your own content. And then granting and use of the marks and the subdomain, again, as it stands. We are then, you know, go through those use restrictions And this is all legalese. Again, I don't want to have this over-lawyered, but it was just to be very clear in case any of you who are friends of ours or myself, if one of us gets hit by a bus, we just want to make sure we're all clear about what our use restrictions and rights are going forward. I don't think that there's anything, hopefully, too offensive in that. Really, in the third paragraph, bottom of page one, top of page two is and then in the page two, the responsibilities and fees is putting in writing what we had talked about, where really all of the content that's there, all of the posting, the licensee is responsible for what you're doing with your particular version of the subdomain. You're responsible for maintaining or a hosting relationship with the Zion Tap, and as we had discussed, that's at this point $90 a month. And then obviously just a general compliance with laws provision. I've left the fees section blank right now, although we're still, from purposes of the IHCA payment, that'll be $1,000, one-time only payment, and then the DOT payment will still calculate based on the number of states that are interested. With the list that we sent yesterday, including all of the ones that we have marked as tentative, we've got 19 total states, including Indiana, that would split the $29,500 fee, and that comes out to $1,552, I think. So between the development fee, the design on tap, and then the licensing fee to IHCA, that'd be $2,500 or so, $2,552 each. You know, that I'm glad that we've gotten such a response, because every additional state drives that fee down a little bit more, and I hope that for states that might have some budget considerations or budget approval processes for expenditures not planned for, that makes it a bit more palatable.
So Zach, this is Dave from Arizona, just so I'm clear. It's a one-time payment of $1,000 that we talked about before. Is that correct? And then you're splitting the rest up by between the states, so that equals 55 or 1552. Is that correct?
Correct. That's correct.
And then you said something about a $90 per month fee?
That's the hosting fee. It's not specified in here. That would be 4.3, clause 3 there. And Josh can speak too, obviously. He had quoted us in some materials that we had gotten a couple of months ago that his fee would be $90 per month. And Josh, is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. And that includes not only website hosting, but everything related to server maintenance, plugin maintenance, updates, security updates, all the things that are kind of required for ongoing web maintenance from a security and from a technical standpoint of keeping it up and running and good performance is all included in that. So there's no additional fees.
Are we then obligated to use Design on Tap for further development of the subpages?
Hey Matt, no. This is Zach, and DOT is available for that, but since it's an open source, WordPress template or the platform, you can use your local developer or whoever on staff that you'd like.
Okay.
You know, if those two things in particular, I can put in here as a defined term, what that hosting fee includes. And we did include more details on the webinar about what the hosting fees include. So I'd be happy to add that as a more, specifying what the hosting fee covers. Again, add that flexibility too in terms of being able to use anybody to basically create and post licensee content, as that defined term goes. I'll make those notes.
I think that's a good idea.
Hey, I'm back. I think someone on the conference line took me aside and asked for my name and company name or something. So I might have missed a question there.
Oh, Josh, David asked about whether or not a subdomain, a licensee would be required to use DOT to develop content for their subdomain, and I answered no. I kind of paused waiting for you, but that must have been when you got pulled away.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Hey, this is Pete.
So Dave, go ahead.
Well, go ahead and finish up with Dave, and then I'll jump in.
I was just simply going to say to Dave's point, I'll go ahead and add that detail to the draft. So go ahead, Pete.
Awesome.
Okay. My issue is of a different nature, and I really appreciate you putting this out there for us, and I think it's the cost is extremely reasonable. That's not an issue for us, but one thing that is I think when we talked about this a little bit on the last call, is kind of what I would call the back end, where the information that's entered by the potential job seeker, I guess you'd say, then goes into a database which generates a spreadsheet, which then you disseminate to the membership and or those providers who've signed up, I guess. You said last time you were looking at an upgrade to the system to automate that process, because it was currently there was a manual component to it, and is that essentially correct? What I understood from last start of discussion.
That is correct, Pete. And the automation upgrade is encompassed in the fee to Design on Tap. So the $29,500, and going back to that webinar, is two components. One is $20,000 to create the platform for subdomain creation, and then $9,500 is to create that automated process for dissemination of the user information, the user input information.
Right, and I understood that. I appreciate you confirming that was correct. I actually didn't go back and look at the webinar stuff. I just was going from memory. But here's the $64,000 question. Hopefully, it wouldn't be that much. We have in Ohio a similar kind of site that we have been involved with and have put some money into on the DD side, and it's called DST Ohio. And any of you or anyone else that wants to take a look at it. That's fine. It's actually pretty nice. But the main thing that it does that is different from this, from Care for the Aging, is how that back end is handled. And the way that DST Ohio works, and we think that it's a good thing, is that providers can go in and create their own profile, which is then tied to counties in Ohio where they operate or they deliver services. And with DD, we're talking about both waiver providers who could be providing services from to a variety of areas, as well as facility-based services. Where they have either a group home or they have an ICF, and those all play into that. So that the provider can create their own profile, they can upload information. Some of them have put in videos, others have put in just text descriptions. They can put in their logos and so forth, and then they get linked to a map, which the user, the job seeker, if you will, the person. Potential DST can go into the site, click on a county, and then up comes a listing of all of the providers who have created profiles, and the providers also can enter in what positions they're recruiting for, so they can list out, here's the jobs we need, and obviously they have to keep that updated on a regular basis. But then the user can click which companies, after having looked at their information, they are interested in hearing from or applying to. It's not really an application because it's just an email that goes to the company. But then it auto generates an email that goes to you know, whichever provider, and the provider, of course, enters in their, you know, their own contact information so that, you know, the system knows where to send it. And so it's a much more focused kind of approach where the user is actually reaching out to those members who are interested or who have openings, and it's focused in that way. And the associations that are involved in this, which is us and others, don't have any part in that. It's all automated. So the question I have, $64,000 question, is would it be possible in our customization of this, and understanding that this wouldn't be obviously within that 29,000 number that you quoted, would it be possible even for us to purchase that kind of functionality, the designing of that kind of functionality into, you know, our subdomain, if you will? Or is it the kind of thing where all we could do is basically substitute in different text and different logos and things like that, but the basic functioning would have to remain the same?
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Good question, and I'm glad to know about DSD Ohio. We'll take a look at that. So there's a couple of answers here. One, the upgrade, the $9,500, and we explained this a little bit on the webinar, that does include, so this idea of automating the user data does include the ability for members, a DD member or a skilled member or an assisted living member, to create a user profile. They create a user profile in order to set a schedule on when they want to get automatically sent the data input by a job seeker, and they can also, they'll be also able to narrow that down by zip code, that geography. So it's not done maybe by DSD Ohio and by a county, on a county level. That's something that, you know, Josh is on the phone. We certainly could think about designing it in a way if a state wanted it to have county rather than zip code, but it does have that kind of user profile drilling down into the service territories that the center serves and where they want to capture job seekers from. The element then that you spoke to about the member, the DD member, or we'll use a SNF or an AL member as an example too, where they've uploaded their own data, of their provider logo or a video, and then a link back to their open postings. That is not included currently on the website. And we had been talking internally about adding that functionality through what we would generically call a job board. That sounds similar to what, you may not characterize the DSD Ohio thing as a job board, but it sounds something similar to that. We decided to not put that in to this kind of platform offering for the very reason that you had said, that yes, you can customize this website to offer that kind of functionality through your own developer or working with Josh at DOT to develop that functionality. So that is absolutely an option. The last thing I would say is we do want to create, and I was going to kind of get into this later a bit, but we do want to create a bit of a user group amongst all of us that are using this website so that these types of ideas and that can be shared and perhaps jointly developed, really to share in the cost of that development. The job board concept where people can upload their own jobs or information about their companies is one approach. Another approach that we had talked to Josh about a month or two ago was to create a job scraper, somewhat of the kayak.com for post-acute care jobs, where you could develop an application that would reach out to your members' websites that are already posting jobs and pull those into Care for the Aging and display them essentially next to or as a link from one of the highlighted career paths that you see. That just came with a lot of extra cost, and we, again, didn't go down that road too far because we wanted to make this offering, not only we wanted to get it out there quick, quicker than otherwise, but that it would add a lot of costs that some states may not want. So that's a bit of a long answer to your question, but yes, the profile creation is there. Yes, you can develop more applications to your particular domain. I would suggest that we would put together a user group that would meet probably more often on the front side of this rollout so that we can share in those ideas, and states that want to join together to develop those types of functionality could do so together.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Zach. And I would actually, I'd be very interested in maybe talking further with Josh or whoever would be appropriate on the front end to explore, you know, what it would take to do that. It's great to hear that you're kind of partway there with this upgrade that you're already planning to do. That's helpful, and it's sort of a good jumping off point. I think we'd still want to try to incorporate the ability of the job seeker to, you know, to review and select who they want their information to go to, rather than having it be basically just done for them by the system.
Right. Right.
But if there's other people who are interested in that kind of functionality in their customized version, then let's talk about that and see. But I'd really like to explore that further, just to see what that would take and get kind of a sense of how doable is it. I assume it sounds like it's doable, and what the cost of that would be.
Yeah, I think there's a variety of ways to accomplish what you're looking to do, and a way to do it without really any additional cost. You might recall that the actual form that a user fills out, that they get either by actively clicking on it or it kind of pops up for them if they spend enough time on the website, that form is totally customizable as well. We have data on it that we've thought to be important. But to your point, Pete, if you wanted that user to select who they wanted their information to go to, you could create another drop-down menu where they're choosing or telling you who they want that information to be sent. And Josh can jump in here that it's likely that that also could be part of the automated process. Now, in terms of this posting of links and logos and such, you can add as many pages to your subdomain as you want. And so there probably is a way to create kind of these subpages to the website that would display information about the users that are signed up with you to use your members that are signed up to use the website, and create some functionality around that rather than having to spend several thousand dollars more on creation of a job board or even more than that on a job scraper. So I think there are some intermediate ways to get to where you want to be on that we've also thought about internally doing here.
And Pete, our team can follow up with you to get a link to the site, and maybe even let DOT poke around a bit to maybe give us some insight about how we could marry some of that functionality if that's what others wanted to do.
Yeah, it's easy.
This is Tony in Georgia. I would say we would have a similar request to have a little bit of prior discussion about how we can integrate some of our existing website functionality into this model platform as well.
Yeah, this is Josh with DesignTap. We can definitely have some conversations about what that could look like and what the platform looks like. I think one thing that could be helpful to note is that there can be what's called platform updates, which means if we agree that there are several people that want this functionality, that cost could be split up and it could be made as a platform update. And then there's also individual site updates. So if an individual wanted to do something unique or different or have some type of integration, that's also available. So it has a lot of flexibility to scale both on the individual and on the platform standpoint.
That's great. Thanks. We look forward to exploring that further.
So I wanted to go back to one comment I made. We too are interested in that, Pete and Tony, in taking that next step. In fact, Josh has already done some research that we've asked him to do on this job board functionality that might be a path that suits these needs. We want to do that too, but I go back to everybody may not want to do that. So I think going back to that, the licensing agreement and figuring out how we can get this project started so that people can get access to the site either as it is now, you know, kind of pulling that trigger so that Josh can start that development rather than waiting on us to agree on all the bells and whistles collectively, I think is something that we need to consider. So as we think about this 25, you know, if all 19 states, including us, were saying, yeah, let's go at $2,500, that obviously wouldn't include this extra work that we've just talked about. And to some extent, I think we need to probably get comfortable with that, of getting the development going and then adding some of these bells and whistles to it later, if that makes sense.
I'm good with that, Zach. In reality, you know, even if no one else is interested in the additional functionality, that's something that we would want to do, you know, assuming the cost isn't crazy, which it doesn't sound like it would be, you know, on our own and for, you know, just for our subdomain. And certainly if others, Tony or yourself or any of the other folks that are participating would be interested, then, you know, let's all band together. But I'm quite comfortable with going ahead with the base, you know, the base agreement as you've outlined it, and then we'll, you know, with the expectation that one way or another, we'll work on the additional functionality at the appropriate time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, this is actually another point to bring up that if we were able to get 25 states, you know, again, we've committed it's not in this contract, which I realize, and I can add that to it, but we're going to stop our take of the licensure fee at $17,000. Every $1,000 we get on top of that, we're going to hold and communicate back with this user group and say, okay, how do we want to spend those dollars? We talked about on the webinar that the easiest thing to do is probably to spend that money on content creation, you know, videos, pictures, that kind of stuff that everybody could use. We would, you know, de-identify companies and we could shoot it all here in Indiana, but do it in a way that would be usable across the country by not naming facilities and all that kind of stuff, right? That's one idea, but another may be this, that collectively everyone might be interested in that, and we spend some of those dollars out of that pool to perform this extra functionality. But we have to get to more states. We have to get to more states than where we are to get that. So,
hey Zach, this is John Vandermeer. I have some concerns just about the last sentence under the license grant section, and wonder whether or not this agreement would create some complications for the arrangement that you're talking about. It says, this license does not apply to any future content or versions of the subdomain that the licensor may develop in the future.
Yeah. So, agree, I think, to the point that we want to add stuff, you know, that contemplates that we would be executing an addendum to the licensing agreement to cover those future content or version creations. You know, so any amendment to the agreement would be done in writing. That could be worded differently to cover, you know, kind of these initial startup phases or extra bells and whistles that we all are agreeing to, and somehow make it so that we don't necessarily have to execute a whole other agreement, but would do so you know, by verbal agreement or some other type of process that we could create to just document that we're agreeing to give or include in this initial license these other upgrades. I mean, totally flexible on that. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it might be worthwhile to have a little bit of additional clarifying language within that section to offer, you know, the opportunity for future conversation of that. So that was one thing that we had in terms of looking at the document. I guess I wanted to go back to the automation upgrade issue just briefly. I guess I'm trying to make sure that our association's existing staff has the capability of handling the administrative responsibilities with this in advance of signing on. And I listened to the webinar, so I got some sense of that. But I want to just make sure with this automation, obviously there's going to be a marketing component of care for the aging and our own subdomain. Do you foresee other administrative challenges that the individual state affiliate is going to be responsible for on a go forward basis that they need to consider in advance of moving forward with this?
I think that's a great question. This is Emily Berger with the Indiana Healthcare Association, and Deeksha might be able to speak to the marketing side of things. I think we referred to the fact that we use an outside agency to assist with some of that, but she communicates regularly with them. In terms of back-end management of the website for your staff, I handle a lot of that for the association, and the cumbersome part of sending out that detail that will eventually be automated to your members is not even especially time-consuming, and it's very easy to do, and we can provide toolkits to folks who still want to have the flexibility of pulling that data in addition to setting up the automation. I would say that we are preparing for how we market our members' ability to go in there and sign up or kind of set their preferences on the automation side. So I think be prepared to set aside some time for communicating that to your membership and maybe doing some hand-holding, getting folks established in there up front, but I wouldn't expect that to be overly burdensome, although I don't know how many members you guys have and how tech savvy or how responsive they kind of are when you move them toward maybe a members only portal or have them manage other registration processes. In terms of how we're kind of viewing workflow for other elements of the site, obviously if you wanted to do any content creation outside of what we have already provided on the site in terms of video or photography, or really going in there and updating language about specific positions, I would think that would be something that you guys should just budget for from a workflow, a time management process for your staff. We used a lot of support from members for that. Another useful resource we could provide is in terms of updating the salary information for specific positions, I would refer you guys to ONET, which is the Federal Department of Labor website, where you could pull some of that information pretty easily. So we're happy to share even with you guys our template that we used in the initial creation of the site with some highlights of where you might want to make some of those edits. But it's really up to you guys to determine how frequently or to the extent you want to make regular updates to those contents. You know, the position descriptions will not change too much unless you guys would have a significant change in scope of practice or something in your state. You know, salary data you'd want to review probably every, 6 months or year. But unless you're really swapping content out significantly, I don't see that as being too much of a time commitment for your staff.
And John, too, we have a user guide that Josh at Design on Tap gave us that we'll give everybody in terms of how to manage the back end, and actually uploading content, videos or photography or changing the language is drag and drop and no different than using a Microsoft Word document. The technical side of that is very easy.
Great. Thanks for that that feedback and that information. I appreciate that. I guess we already have a WordPress platform for our association's website, And it's also helpful to know that we would have the option of taking that plugin and incorporating it into our existing website, so we could have that option of our current web hosting company to have those responsibilities, so it's all within one contract as opposed to having something separately. I guess the other question that I would have is, you know, in terms of executing this agreement, from the standpoint of having additional states sign on and sharing some of those costs, what is your timeline for trying to execute this existing agreement and provide to fill in those numbers in number 4 on page 2? So that we know more of a sense of what we're actually paying, because we're not going to be signing on to a contract, obviously, if those numbers aren't sort of filled in, right?
Right. Well, we've got a little bit of a chicken and the egg here. I mean, we need to have. It's kind of good time for us to have a group decision, or maybe later this week, early next week. I do think that because Josh has a 10 to 12 week development timeline. He also has a cadence of how how he manages his team. We probably need to have a final deadline to fully commit to the spend. Let's say by the end of the ACA convention. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow. I think that might be fair to give some states some time that may not have this budgeted and have to get some different approvals. To do that, I just opened that up as a general suggestion. Does 2 weeks sound fair to those that are on the call?
Fine with me.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay. Josh, I'll put you on the spot a little bit, Josh. So one of the things is that. Josh needs to get paid, and we want Josh to get paid. Josh wants to get paid. Josh, can you talk a little bit about how you would see the cadence moving forward? You know, we've talked obviously about that you're going to establish a client relationship with everybody as a part of this agreement. In terms of invoicing and payment from states, are you going to be looking for, you know, For this amount of money, for $1,500, I would hope that if assuming we can get all 19 states, that people can pay that up front. But you know, some of the relationships that we've had with Josh and other hosting companies, you pay half at the development time and half before the site gets turned on. So Josh, could you talk a little bit about that cadence?
Yeah. So typically, we actually break up the payment over the time period of what we're working on from an engagement standpoint with our normal clients. So if it was, for example, $30,000 and it was a three-month engagement, it would be $10,000 a month for 3 months. But because of the uniqueness of this particular project, I think what probably is the best way to move forward, because everybody's individually paying little bits of this and it's broken up, I think it would be best to have everybody pay that small bit up front for the initial agreement. And all the add-ons and stuff would be treated differently. But for this initial investment, having everybody have that kickoff check ready for when we're doing kickoff together, whether that sounds like might be 3 or 4 weeks from now, depending on what you guys agree on, then that way we know for sure and we got commitments on our end from all the states, and we can start rocking quickly on developing this out.
Well,
so Josh, you're saying it should be you want it to be $1,500 upfront.
Yeah, whatever the amount is that is agreed on in 2 weeks when you guys sign that contract, that would be the amount that would need to be upfront. So if you get more states, that number might go down. If you get less states, that number might go up a little bit. So I would, you know, Zach might be better to answer this, but I would probably plan anywhere from 1,000 to, you know, 2,500, depending on how many states actually say yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Josh. One of the things I want to consider, and I know some on the phone have told us that they may need to get approval in December for this to be a 2019 expenditure. I'd hate to lose a state just due to timing. If a commitment can be made, but the spend can't be done until Q1, that'll be something that if you're one of those states, let's talk to try to figure that out, because I think it would be beneficial to everybody to have those states included to lower the overall cost. So if Josh wants payment up front, we'll need to think about that a little bit, and I don't want that to dissuade anybody from joining in order to benefit everybody to lower that cost.
And then the continuation, the monthly hosting and all that wouldn't start, of course, until the individual sites were launched. So just keep that in mind too, that you're not gonna have to pay for hosting that's not active. And then I'm not gonna turn everybody on at the same time. It will be dependent on each organization when they want to turn on the site, and then that's when the 90 a month would start.
Got it. Okay. There will be apparently during the ASHCA meeting on the 8th at 3:15 or 3:30. Emily, do you remember?
Like 3:10.
Yeah, 3:10. Apparently, Lindsay Schwartz is going to be making a workforce presentation to the group that afternoon. And I'm actually can't be there for that portion because I've committed to be on a panel with Lynn Bentley over across the street at the convention center. But Emily, who you've heard from here, will be there for IHCA to answer any questions because Lindsay was going to put a slide or so in there. It may be a good time for any other questions that you all have to talk with Emily in person about that, and then maybe we can do some more recruiting at that point too.
Deeksha and I will also be making a presentation at the Long-Term Care Communicators group that's meeting earlier that day. So if you have staff that are participating in that and they have any questions on kind of the administrative side, we'll be prepared to answer those and do a little demo for those folks as well. So just a heads up there.
Well, I won't read the rest of the contract or go through it. I think you've all seen it. I mean, the rest of it is more or less boilerplate. The IP ownership, it's somewhat reciprocal. What we've developed, we keep. What you develop, you keep as your own IP. And the rest of it's pretty straightforward. So I guess to recap, well, let me pause there first. Are there any other questions about either the agreement or the timing or how we can continue to work together?
Back. This is Tony. Just FYI, we always go through with any contract just a really quick legal review with our counsel, and if they come back, they're going to come back and say everything's good, but if there's any issues, I'll be sure to get with you.
Cool. Thank you. I'll note that, there's no governing law provision in here. There's no venue provision. I can add it. We were trying to keep this as short as possible. I don't have a confidentiality provision in here, which is literally a half page. These long confidentiality provisions. Just kind of note that with your counsel that we were trying to get this as short as possible as being somewhat an agreement between friends.
And Zach, Tony again, we're in agreement. We don't think you need to add a whole lot of stuff to it. It looks great to us, but I'm in agreement. This should be simple because it is amongst colleagues and friends.
Thank you. Yeah, any feedback is great. We can make this better for sure. So I guess to recap, I will go back to define in the agreement. I guess I'll go sequentially here. That license grant section is to make that language in the last sentence of section 2A a little bit more broad that would encompass agreed upon platform changes that would be pushed out. if that language makes sense. Otherwise, I think it's just going to be, you know, subject to an addendum amongst all of us. Then also, to Dave's point, make sure that we're adding to the language that a licensee is not required to use DOT for development of content on the subpage, and just to make that expressly clear, and also to define the yearly hosting fee to make it more specific to everything that Josh will provide you all in that, which includes maintenance, plugins, and security type stuff that we had detailed on the webinar a couple
hey,
of weeks
hey,
ago.
Hey, Zach. This is Dave again. Regarding the hosting fee, is that $90 per month total, or is that $90
yes.
per state?
$90 per month per state.
Okay, so why is it per month per state? Isn't there just one? I don't understand the logistics of that, or the why it would be more the more states you add on. I mean, you just have one host, so.
That's a question for
Josh.
Can
you explain it more?
Yeah, so when we were talking about putting together this platform, that number was originally a lot higher, and we've kind of worked back and forth on getting it lower. And part of it is instead of having a ongoing managed services agreement around managing the platform, we're splitting up the platform like service fees and updating and fixing challenges across all the states by putting it into the hosting fee. So,
okay.
For example, if WordPress makes an update and it breaks all your guys' websites, you guys don't individually each have to pay a developer or another consultant to fix that and or pay a managed services across this whole thing. It's just included in that monthly hosting. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Dave, we were actually considering making your hosting fee $1,000 a month. But
well, thanks. You know, I assume that's just a one-time fee, right? $1,000, I'll just send you cash.
I second that motion.
Hey, back out hey. For drinks at convention.
I've stopped drinking with Dave. my life.
As long as you still take third-party out-of-state checks, I'm good. So.
But good question, Dave.